Mark's Gospel, chapter number 15. So good to see you here today. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in Mark 15, verse number 24. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord moving amongst His people. Wouldn't have much church if we didn't have the Spirit of the Lord. I sure am glad that He sent the great Comforter, the Convictor, that is the Holy Ghost in our midst, to show us and to school us of the things that we stand in need of. Mark 15, verse 24, here at Calvary, the Bible said, when they had crucified Him, they parted His garments and cast in lots upon them what every man should take. It was the third hour and they crucified Him. The superscription of His accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with Him they crucified two thieves. The one on His right hand and the other on His left. And so the Scripture was fulfilled, and it always will be, which saith, He was numbered with the transgressors. They that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, but Himself He cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. You may be seated this morning. Our Father, within my efforts, and God, within my education, God, I cannot preach. And Lord, I realize today, I guess, more than any day, how I need Thee every hour. Would You help me today to be Your servant and Your mouthpiece? Would You do things today that only You can do? And Lord, would You draw a sinner by Your grace? Save them by Your mercy. Lord, I know You can do it here today because I seen You do it last week. I know You're still on the throne. And I ask now that You would move, You'd help each need in this house. And we'll be grateful in Christ's name I ask You. Amen. And amen. I'm interested this morning in verse number 30 where the Holy Ghost penned down, save thyself and come down from the cross. I'm going to preach on this subject today on He wouldn't come down. He wouldn't come down. It's not that He couldn't, but He wouldn't. I want to say it wasn't the nails that was holding Him there. It was not the Roman soldiers that had their weapons pointed to Him that held Him there. But there were some things why that Christ would not come down. And I sure am glad that He didn't come down. Matter of fact, there's a lot of folk encouraged Him to come down. There's a lot of crowd trying to encourage a lot of boys to come down from where God put them at. But oh, I'm glad He didn't come down. You see, first of all, He wouldn't come down because there was a plan arranged. A plan arranged. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse 22, you'll see that there was a predetermined counsel that here Jesus was fulfilling. The Bible said in Acts 2 and 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel. Now when they get together, friend, it's going to take place. And foreknowledge of God, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, he wouldn't come down because there was a plan arranged. There was a determined council that met in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they had a meeting. And here, the Bible says that he was delivered by the determined council. The Father seen us. He seen the law. He knew we could never be saved by the law. So aren't you glad that God had a plan? And he sent his Son. And you know what he sent? What his Son said? I'll go, Father. I will go. And here, there was a plan arranged. Have you ever noticed this in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 1? You ought to underline this. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. Not the very image of the things that can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now God here is not really speaking about the Ten Commandments, but he's talking about the ordinances that he established of the law. Shadows of things to come to pass. You see, today I can take this watch in my hand, and if the right light gets on it, it makes a shadow. But that shadow will not tell time. And therefore, you'll notice that on that wall there's a shadow because lights have been cast upon it. You can take a key and put by a door, and the shadow of that key will not unlock that door. God said the types of the law, the ceremonies, was just a shadow of great things to come. Boy, aren't you glad that God had something better in mind than killing that of blood of the bulls and the goats and the heifers? Aren't you glad that God had a plan for you and me on His mind? I'm glad He just didn't leave us in the shadows. I'm glad that He'd done something for us on an old rugged cross. Now you'll notice he would not come down because this plan arranged. In Hebrews 10, he says this in verse number 3, but in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but watch this, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, watch, to do thy will, O God. Then he said in verse 9, he said, lo, I come to do the will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In other words, he took away the law, then he may establish grace. You know what law did? It brought death. But grace brought life. I'm glad I'm saved by grace this morning. Therefore I have life. Now Jesus would not come down because there was a plan arranged. He said in verse 10, by which will we are sanctified or set apart unto God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest Every priest standeth daily ministering. He's even talking about the Pope. He's even talking about the big town Baptist preacher. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Boy, I'm glad God had a plan. And there Jesus was God's plan. I tell you why he wouldn't come down. Because there was a plan arranged. He wanted to do the will of God. I wish some of me and you would get hooked in to wanting to do the will of God. You say, well, preacher, it hurts. That's what a cross does. You say, well, preacher, it's going to cost me something to serve God. It sure is, and it's going to cost you something to get saved. I wonder, are you willing to pay it? You say, what's it going to cost me? Probably cost you some new friends. Probably cost you a few fishing appointments. Probably will cost you a few ball games. Honey, let me tell you, it cost Jesus something to get you out of hell. And we ought to be willing to pay the price, whatever this cross that he puts us on. I'm glad he wouldn't come down because of pain. Thank God for some forefathers that wouldn't come down because of pain. Let me tell you, just because you're a Christian don't mean that you're immune to trouble. But aren't you glad you got somebody to walk in your trouble with you? Used to, I try to smoke my trouble away. But when I come down, there was my trouble. A lot of folks try to drink their trouble away. But you know, isn't it always amazing? They always go back to the package store. I noticed the little beer joint across the street here was out of business. Done tried to got new banners up under new management. No, it's not. The same devil that opened the first and opened that one. He's still managing beer joints this morning. Some of you don't like at it. I don't care if you like it or not. I guarantee you there's a lot of little old young'uns wish to God in heaven they had never seen a bottle of alcohol. A lot of mom and daddies wish to God every beer joint in this community had been closed when they sat down yonder at the Rainwater Funeral Home weeping over a casket because somebody said it's okay to take a drink and it's all right to party a little. Well, let me tell you, friend, hell ain't cool. Hell ain't cool. Boy, I'm glad he wouldn't come down because there was a plan arranged. Aren't you glad God had a plan for us? You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll buy my way in, all right? Well, what's the price? The Bible says, you that are without money come without pride. Well, if you can work your way in, then you tell me the level where I've got to get in. And I'll give you another thought there. If I could work my way in, means I could work my way out. Sometimes I have bad thoughts. And when my brain engages, a lot of times my mouth engages. And I say things I ought to not say. And then sometimes when my brain engages, my hands do things that I know I ought to not do. But in spite of me, I do it anyhow. Aren't you glad we're not saved by the law? We're saved by the grace of God. Aren't you glad the shadow of the law brings death, but grace brings life this morning? There ain't nobody perfect in this church. Quit looking for somebody. I wish we could be concerned about the will of God as our Savior did. Matter of fact, he said, lo, I'm always looking to do thy will, O God. He wouldn't come down because the plan arranged. Number two, he would not come down because there was a payment assigned. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I want you to notice a text. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, one of the most astounding in the Bible. He said in verse number 3, now this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that lets me know right there, God wants everybody in the building to be saved. For there's one God. That's the end of the statement. And He's high and holy. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. In other words, so you can understand it, He said He'd have everybody to be saved, come the knowledge of the truth. He said there's one God and there's one go-between between you and God. And He's the man, Christ Jesus. And here's the verse. Who gave Himself, didn't nobody hold a gun to His head. Them soldiers didn't have Him on that cross. Who gave Himself, look, a ransom for all. In other words, this word ransom means to buy back, to pay the price. Can I tell you, He paid for you on the cross. And this is amazing, man. This is what I've been thinking about it for the last 3 months really in depth. And I really just can't get a handle on it. Brother DeWayne spoke a little bit about it this morning, but this was God's concept. This was God's doings. It could only appease God. It could only make God satisfied to put His Son on the cross and die for me and you. Now, God could just as easily, Him being God, He could have been satisfied with the old types of the law. But it went deeper than that. He said, no, He said, sin is so bad, I've got to let my Son die for it. Because you see, if it didn't mean nothing to you, it wouldn't have meant nothing to God. God has a lot to do in salvation. He thinks a lot about getting people saved. He said, you know, a bull or a goat won't do it. He said, I'm going to give the best I've got to get you to where I am. Now that's amazing to me how He devised His own plan to give up His Son for me and you. Hell-bound sinners give the best He had for. That's amazing to me that God would have that kind of. He must really love us, and I tell you, He must really hate sin. A lot of people say, well, you know, God overlooks sin. No, He don't. No, He sure don't. The blood washes away sin. And boy, I'm glad when He sees me this morning, He don't see me, He sees the blood of His Son. And I can tell you why that Jesus wouldn't come down from that cross. Because there was a plan arranged, but two, because there was a payment assigned. In 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 21, God had a payment plan in place. And He said, the only way you're going to heaven is if I pay it for you. 1 Peter 2 verse 21, for even whereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Watch this, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Look at 1 Peter 3:18 right next door. For Christ also hath once, never have to do it again, suffered for sins. God thinks sin's ugly because He sent His Son to suffer for it. Watch this. This is what's amazing to me about salvation's plan. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Now, I want to break this verse down and hurriedly get along. The plan arranged, but the payment assigned. Now, watch what he says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Not only did God have a plan, but in this plan, Christ loved us enough to give himself for us. The just for the unjust. He had never known sin. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. In other words, there was a payment there that had to be made. He would not come down because he was paying for us. You know, you think a lot of somebody that does a lot for you. And this is what amazed me, the just for the unjust. That would be just like these newborn children putting here on the altar. And you take a man like me that's done a lot of things in his past that he's not proud of, and there's some more of you boys sitting around here, and there's some more of you girls that don't want a projector screen put up what you done back yonder neither. And I can tell you how real this thing was to Christ. The just for the unjust. You take one of these little simple babies that's never known sin and put them on a cross, and me and you look at that, and he dies for, gives his life for the just for the unjust. That means something to me. Now, if he was some kind of an old criminal, some kind of just any run-of-the-mill old boy, but I'm talking about somebody that had never known sin that took my sin on him. God chose to put all of my sins and all of your sins on His Son and let Him die and make a payment to satisfy the Father. And He said, God, I'm going to do it because I love You and I love them. And you know, when we talk about the grace of God, we can't even raise our hands toward it. We think it's something that we've got to pay our tithes to Him. We think it's something that He asked us to be faithful. I think He paid it all, and He was pretty faithful on the cross. There's a lot of churches closing their doors on Sunday nights. You know why? Because ain't nobody there to go to church. You know why they close on Wednesday night service? Because ain't nobody there to go to church. You know why? Because people's priorities are out of balance. You know why people aren't here today? Because their priorities aren't right. Some are sick, can't get here. I understand situations. But as a norm, we do what we want to do. So I want to ask you something this morning. What did He do for you? Is it much that He would ask us to just give part of our life for Him when He gave us His all? There's people driving 40, 50 miles to this church. That's dedication. These people across the street won't walk in the church. We better take a look at Calvary and remember what He's done for us. You say, preacher, I don't know why you got so excited. Well, let me tell you like this. One day I got caught. I become guilty. God hemmed me up. I seen I was a sinner, and I walked out of the door into a courtroom. And God said, you listen to me, boy. I got everything you've ever done wrote down right here in this book. Everything you've ever done, I've wrote it down right here. God said, now I'm the judge. And said, I don't even need no witnesses because I got it wrote down right here. I'm judge and witnesses. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked up. He said, Ken, you're guilty. You know you're guilty, don't you? I said, yes, sir. I know I'm guilty. I said, you ain't got to tell me how wicked I am. I know how wicked I am. You ever notice how you ain't got to teach your young'uns how to lie? They just pick it up. You ever notice you don't have to teach them to be ugly because they just get ugly on their own? I got a little old grandboy and him 2-year-old. Yeah, you know what he's done started doing? He's done started hitting people in the face. And I can guarantee you this, if he was talking, if he could talk yet, he'd be lying. And I know all yours is perfect, but you just give him a little while. He said, you guilty. You remember all that you done back yonder and your mom and daddy wasn't looking? You get, I got it right here. You know the things that you said, the things you did, the places you went that nobody noticed, and I got it all right here. And Jesus said, now you guilty, ain't you, Ken? I said, I'm guilty. He said, do you want me to take your case? He said, now I want to give you some background. He said, there was a payment made 2,000 years ago. There's a man hung on the cross and he died for you that you could get out of what you've got yourself in. I said, say what? But I don't have that. I don't have no money to get that kind of lawyer. He said, well, he said, what you don't understand, he said, this man, he's filled with love and mercy and compassion. And he knows you ain't got nothing. But he knows you're guilty, but he'll take your case. And I want to give you a little background. He's never lost a trial. He's never seen nobody that he took his case that they sent to the gallows. Nobody never went to the electric chair that he took his case. I said, oh, I want him. Where can I get him? He said, I'm right here. He said, I'm right here beside you. He said, now you're guilty. He said, if you want out all this that you've got in, said, I'll take your case. I said, I want it more than anything in my life. And he said, well, you're going to have to reach out to me. I said, well, how do I do that? He said, by faith, you're going to have to reach out by faith to me. And I reached out, and he got me. And he stood me up and he said, Father, I plead his case. And now when God sees me, don't see me, he sees his son that hung on an old rugged cross and shed his blood and died for me. And now he's the reconciliation to God. He's the go-between for me. And now I don't have to die and go to hell because he took my case. Now I could have said this the way some of you said it. No, I'll take my chances. No, I think the judge may know my mama and daddy may let me off. No, because it's written right here. There's none good, no, not one. Be sure your sin will find you out. And it's a verse right here that you can't buy him off with. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he turned around, he said, God, you're satisfied? God said, I'm satisfied. Jesus turned to me. He said, Ken Bowman, you're justified. Go tell others what I've done for you. You say, preacher, that sure is simple. It sure is. But it's profound. The just for the unjust. He wouldn't come down. Because there was a plan arranged. There was a payment assigned. But he wouldn't come down because there was people awaiting. He had to finish the work God had called him to do. Hey, Sherry, I want you to come. I want you to play something for me this morning. I want to ask a question. In Hebrews 12, I don't know if you've ever noticed this in your Bible or not, but in Hebrews 12, verse number 2, here the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. Yeah, they were some people awaiting that if he come down, he couldn't get them to where God was. I can show you my Bible. The shadow of that law had some in a holding place. Abraham's bosom. Jesus died. He went and unlocked that place. The Bible said that he led captivity captive. He set them free in the book of Ephesians. He walked in Abraham. Abraham turned and he said, "Hey, y'all. Here he is." He said, "Who was there?" "Oh, all them Old Testament saints been waiting on the shadow of the law. That were just rolled over and over and over. And then when Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled the law." Boy, could you imagine when Christ led them in that city? I preached this last week. It was amazing, Brother Tim, what God gave me to preach 3 nights. The first night I preached on that house church and them 4 boys that grabbed a corner of that blanket and let down. Didn't know who the names was. Second night I preached on that old leper. Brother Gerald turned back and gave him praise. He said, "Wasn't they 10 of y'all?" I don't know who he was. Don't know what his name was. The third night I preached on Calvary. That thief that turned to him said, "Lord, remember me." I don't know who his name was. But let me tell you something. They all met up there in heaven together. You see, now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no purgatory. The minute you die, your spirit and soul goes to one of two places, to heaven or to hell. Now, some of you here this morning, and you done got yourself in a case. But you know Jesus take your case. Did you know I got saved at 20 years old, 1981, I got saved. I've been saved over 30 years. And all the things I was so ashamed of that day when I said, "Lord, I want you to take my case," and he grabbed me and got me to God. You say, "How did he do that, preacher?" By grace. You're saved by grace through faith. I had to have faith, say, "Lord, I'm willing to take what you've done for me. Lord, I realize there's nothing I can bring. Lord, I'm a failure. I can do nothing." But you know today he'll take your case. And I won't tell you the last reason why he wouldn't come down. Not because the guards held him. He wouldn't come down because the plan arranged, the payment assigned, the people awaiting, because of the prayers that he was going to have to answer. In Hebrews 4, he's sitting on the right-hand side of God this morning. Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest." Then look where he's at. He's passed into the heavens. Look who he is, Jesus, the Son of God. Preacher, you sure are high on Jesus. Thank you. "Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy."
and find grace to help in time of need. You know why he wouldn't come down? Because he's sitting there interceding for me and you this morning. As we come, God answers our prayers through him, through Christ. He's sitting there on the right hand of God as the intercessor, taking every case that comes. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Some of these young ones come a while ago boldly to the throne. God, I'm coming because I need some help in my life. You know the reason some of you won't come? Because you're so full of pride. And you're going to try to do it on your own. Some of you, you've about lost everything you've got. You about lost your husband, about lost your wife. Some of you headed to hell and you're just going to sit there. Let me tell you something. He'll take your case this morning. He'll take your case. I'm glad he didn't come down. I'm glad that there he hung on the cross and he wouldn't come down. You know, do you need him to take your case this morning? I don't know of any simpler illustration to give to you is that the law declared us guilty and Christ said, I'll be your go-between. I've paid your sin debt and I'll take your case and I'll get you to God. Do you want that this morning? Do you? I want Brother David to come and lead us in a number today. And I want to open up these altars all around here. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You've never been saved. I don't know of a better morning for you to come give your life to Christ. You know, a lot of people say, well, will he really do that for me? He paid a ransom for all.